friend was asking, "Why are you reading that?" He responded, "I may be old, but I'm growing." It is quite a challenge for people like us here on the stage. As we advance in years, it doesn't mean that we should stop growing. We have to keep on growing intellectually as much as we can. Physically, we have challenges though, but let's never give up. Let's never forget if we can make an exercise and do that, and also maintaining a healthy eating lifestyle. That's very important. And also spiritually, above all, spiritually, let's grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Caleb is a classic Bible example of growing wisely and slowly in the foundation of faith. He was bold. He was daring. He was courageous. Truly, he was considered as the shaker and mover of his times. He was always on the cutting edge, so to speak, in his own culture at the time. How did Caleb grow wisely and slowly in the foundation of faith? Let's discuss the process of Caleb's growth in his spiritual foundation. Number one, we could see the process of his growth and the beginning. The starting point is in his early years. And we read that in chapter 14, verse 14. And let's read once again, chapter 14 of Joshua, verse 14. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. That talks about the early life of Caleb. It's not directly stated here, but it's clearly implied that he started to make up his own spiritual conviction regarding his faith and belief in God early in his life. That's why the phrase here, Jephunneh, the Caleb's father, he was Jephunneh's son, the Kenizzite. The word Kenizzite here, if you compare it Genesis chapter 15, verse 19, the Kenizzites at the time were a tribe of Canaan, one of the tribes of Canaan. They were worshippers of many gods. So Jephunneh used to be a worshipper of God, of many gods and goddesses. He was a polytheist. We might as well put it that way. So Caleb's father was an unbeliever. And then he married Caleb's mom, who came from the tribe of Judah. So apparently, Jephunneh came to know Jehovah as the true and living God through marriage. Through his wife, Caleb's mom, coming from the tribe of Judah, because the Israelites were what we call solidly monotheists. They believe in one God, that's Jehovah, the only true God, the creator of heaven and earth, and the source of life. So we see here Caleb, during his early years, must have been trained by the parents. The dad who was converted, possibly, and the mom who was strong in her faith and in her conviction, they were able to impart and convey their faith in one true God to Caleb. And Caleb, as a boy, as an infant, grew up in the knowledge of Jehovah, the true God. And it is interesting to note, for all of us, and also challenging to realize that for each one of us, as parents, we have to seriously and solemnly and religiously take our responsibilities in seeing to it that we rear up our children in their early years, in their formative years, training them to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So the point here is this. Caleb's faith in Jehovah, God, was not hereditary. Rather, it was the fruit of what? Conviction. It was a fruit of personal decision, informed, conscious, biblically educated choice to follow Jehovah God as the true living God, the God of the Bible, that the Bible revealed to the people of Israel. And he displayed that faith throughout his long lifetime. Since then, he never veered away. He never faltered from his faith in this one true God. How did you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior? How did you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Many of our children, born in a Christian family, grew up, sad to say, living a life which seemingly don't show any trace of personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is tragic. That is heartbreaking. If I were to ask you, are you a Christian? Now, how did you come to faith in Jesus Christ? Oh, I was born in a Christian family. My dad was a deacon. My dad was a pastor. That's what I used to think. Before coming to Jesus Christ as my Savior, I was saved when I was 10 years old. I made that personal decision. But before that, I thought that I was sure of going to heaven. Because we would go to Sunday school, we'd go to church, I would bring my Bible, and we were all required to read the Bible in our devotion and all of that. So I thought that my salvation, my going to heaven was already assured and secured. Because my father was a pastor. Only to realize, at 10 years old, my dad asked me, lovingly confronted me while we were having that devotional time in the evening, along we were a family of, at the time, we were a family of 10. All of us, you know, made up to be 12 in our family. At the time, we were 10 brothers and sisters. And each one, my dad would ask, are you sure of going to heaven? If Jesus Christ would come again, and if death would come to each one of us, are you sure going to heaven? Starting from the oldest down to the youngest. And when my turn came, I was asked, I couldn't answer my dad. And I was so embarrassed. You know what I did? I hid under the table. I had no courage to face my dad face to face. I was so embarrassed. I didn't know whether I was saved or not. And then and there, my father took me aside after that devotion and talked to me step by step God's plan of salvation. How important it is for parents not only to just assume or presume that all your children are grown up, but you have never taken time to talk with them It's very important. I believe with all my heart from the implication here that Caleb was personally led either by the dad or by the mom to make a personal decision to believe in Jehovah God, Yahweh, the true and living God, the God of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The best example for this is also found in the New Testament. In the case of Timothy, remember that? Timothy. Paul wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. The Amplified Bible reads, "And how from your childhood you have had a knowledge of and been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to instruct you and give you the understanding for salvation which comes through faith in Jesus Christ." Timothy must have been led by the mom to the saving knowledge through the help of the grandma, Louis and Eunice, leading him to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, in spite of the fact that Timothy's dad was a Greek, must be a pagan. You see that? So the mom took initiative, seriously, to see to it that the boy Timothy would be led personally to the saving knowledge of Jesus, that he would open his heart volitionally, voluntarily, with information from the Word of God, facts from the Word of God, informed, conscious decision. How important it is. Many times we are weak in this area of early childhood Christian education. We always hear about the ECE, early childhood education. But the most important, I believe, before God is education of the heart of children that would be bringing them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We are weak in this. Our Sunday school, our teachers, we need more training. We need more seriousness. Believe me, the Roman Catholics are really serious in the early religious training of their congregation, of their membership. Believe me, where can you find a Catholic church in a city or a big town? Even sometimes in barrios. Here we call that the counties. Where can you find a Roman Catholic church that where there is a church, for sure there will always be a school? Believe me. To them it's serious. You can never sever the relationship of the religion, their church, and education. But we are so weak in this. Believe me, Bible-believing Christians, it's time for us to wake up. We leave our children for the secularists and the humanists and people who don't believe in the Bible in the public schools. Nothing wrong with the public schools, but the danger is they will teach your children there about evolution. They will teach about it's okay, same-sex marriage and all of those. They will teach it's okay to just assist people in killing them, euthanasia and all of those. That's why we are in a problem today, because of moral decadence and many times neglect, caused by neglect by Christians. It's time for us to wake up. Francis Xavier, a great Jesuit philosopher and theologian and educator. What did he say? That's why you have Xavier University and all of those. Jesuits are really specialized order. Why is it that the Jesuits, Ignatius Loyola, who started that, why is it that he started this order? Mainly to educate children. starting from infancy to their teenage years, educate them in the Catholic faith. That is Francis Xavier. That is Jesuit's mission. What did he say? Give me the children until they are 7, and anyone may have them afterwards. You may have them after 7, but the first 7 years, give your child to us. You just want to do with them after that. It's okay with us, but give us the first 7 years. How important it is in the early formative years of our children. Caleb had that privilege. He had that blessing from his parents. And number 2, he grew up in his Christian faith, in his what we call faith in God, theistic faith in Jehovah God. Not only starting from early years of his life, but up to his middle years, to his teenage adulthood, middle years. And we read that in Numbers chapter 13, 1 to 6. Numbers chapter 13, 1 to 6. If you would mind, I will not read all of the verses here, just take note of those. Numbers 13, 1 to 6. When he went as one of the 12 spies, Moses sent to investigate the land of Canaan. Here we see his faith was already tested. By the time that he grew up in faith, he developed and distilled, shall we say, his own convictions about Jehovah God and the God of the Hebrews. It's their father, his fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We see here in verse 6 of chapter 13, it says here, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Meaning, he had chosen to be identified not with the Kenizzites anymore. He let the people know at the time that he was not a pagan person. He was a person who believed in Jehovah God. And he said, I am one of the tribes, of the tribe of Judah. I came from the tribe of Judah, meaning he made clear his allegiance. As Christians, we have too. If you really have grown up in the faith and you have developed your conviction in the faith, in the Word of God, you've got to tell people, and you are not apologetic about it. You're not embarrassed, nor ashamed, nor timid about it. You've got to stand up and identify yourself and let people know your allegiance, that my allegiance belongs only to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. This is the gist, I believe, of Numbers chapter 13, verse 6. I am from the tribe of Judah. And remember the time. Moses was about to enter the promised land, but Jehovah God said, Moses, before you enter the promised land and possess what I promised to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you've got first to survey the land. You need to send people there who would reconnoiter, we call it. Who will spy the land? Survey and take a look of the land that you will possess. So 10 of the 12 spies, after they had already surveyed the land, and after they were all across the crooks and crannies of Canaan, they returned to Moses and the assembly of the Israelites, and there was a report. 12 spies were sent. First, the report came from the 10 spies. We call this the majority report. The 10 spies reported negatively Oh, we cannot have this land. Canaan is so fortified, walled cities, and mind you, the people there are gigantic. They are giants. They come from the tribe of Anakim. That's where Goliath came from too. We know that. The giants are there. And in chapter 13, verse 33, wow, they were so horrified. They were so paralyzed and demoralized. They said, this is not for us. And they started to cry and wail and said, Moses, how in the world did you bring us here? We are just praise, easy praise for these people there, the inhabitants of Canaan. This is no match for us. Too much for us. They are formidable enemies. We are just grasshoppers compared to them. So it was all negative. And the people were, their hearts were melted with fear. They were so discouraged. But Caleb and Joshua still them down and said, wait, wait, listen from us. And we call this the minority report. The minority report. Two of them. Caleb and Joshua, they also saw the land. They saw the fortified cities. They saw the gigantic people, the giants. But they reacted in faith rather than fear. So their survey and the reports were in contrast. They were at opposite to each other. You know what? Dr. Stanley said, this is a matter of perspective. That's his favorite phrase, which is really true. In this particular instance, the reports were just matter of perspective. The 10 saw the giants. As well as the 2. Yes. Both of them, all of them, the 12 spies, saw everything. The same. The same things. The same people they saw. The same situation. The same condition. The same challenges. They saw all of those. Walled cities. The mighty military arm of the people. The stature of the people. They saw everything. The same. In the same manner. But they differ in their perspective. The 10 saw the giants. They saw the walled cities. The 2 saw all of this, but beyond that, they didn't only see the giants. They didn't only see the walled cities. They saw God. But the 10 only confined their vision, their sight, to what sits there, their circumstances around. Caleb and Joshua saw the Lord God, the mighty God. So they advised Moses and Aaron and the Israelites to attack Canaan immediately. No, you should not be afraid. We can overcome them because God has promised it to us. And God is able and powerful. More powerful than all of them. And more powerful than all of their gods and goddesses. That's why we see here in verse 30 of chapter 13 of Numbers. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. I like this word. At once. Immediately. You know what? Obedience. True obedience is what? Unconditional. And true obedience is immediate. It never will be delayed obedience. Delayed obedience is as good as disobedience. It must be unconditional. It must be right away, immediate. How about you? Many times, especially when you're aging, you see so many challenges. Not the literal giants, though, but the giant of loneliness, the giant of fear, the giant of insecurity, because you have no more salary. You cannot just live, I believe, on your pension. I don't think so. More especially if you have many grandchildren. Your pension is not good enough. It's only good to keep up your existence. But beyond that, there we go. That's where faith comes in. Believe me, brothers and sisters, there are giants that you have to fight and vanquish when you are aging. I'm not only talking about the aging. Even if you are young, you have giants too. How about the giants of temptations? How about the giants of the pleasures of this world? They become idols and all of that. Fear also can sweep you away. Even you're young, it can intimidate you, really. So all of us have our own challenges. But I hope that your perspective and my perspective will be like Caleb and Joshua's perspective. Let's not just look at the circumstances. Let's not just look at our loneliness. Let's not just look at our financial, shall we say, crisis or insufficiency. Let's lift our eyes beyond those things. They are real. We are not escaping nor ignoring the reality of all of those. But let us go and look up far and above and beyond all of these mundane circumstances, because we see the Lord. The Lord Almighty. The Lord God who cares for us and who promises for our victory, for our provision, for our protection, for our guidance, and He will never fail. He will always deliver. I hope that we will have that perspective, that everything we see must be seen through the eyes of faith. Faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Faith through the spectacles of the Scriptures, because the promises of God are as bright as the sun. Believe me, the prospect for each one of us in the future, in days ahead, are always brighter than the promises of God. So, Caleb and Joshua advised and still the people, no, we can go up and immediately possess the land. Now, if you back up in Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 to 2, I'd like you to open to that. Numbers 13. Why is it that Joshua and Caleb were, shall we say, intrepid? Why is it that they were stubborn? Why is it that never give up in spite they were outvoted? There were only two against the 10. Why is it that they never budge an inch, so to speak? In chapter 13, verses 1 to 2, here is the foundation of their courage, of their faith. Here it is. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which, what? I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. This is already, shall we say, fait accompli. This is already in the bag. God told Moses, send 12 spies to see and survey the land which I will give you unto each of the tribe. God already said, just go there. And the problem about fighting all, no, forget all about it. I will take care of that. God told Moses, I will give. It's already a done deal with God. And I believe Caleb and Joshua listened to that very intently and took the word of God so seriously in their hearts that there was no iota, nor shadow of doubt at all, that God who said, I will give this land to you. Joshua took, and Caleb took the promise of God. That's why I love that song. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All the blessings of His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. You've got to what? Appropriate. God has already promised each one of us so many wonderful things. Victory. Just take that and say, Lord, thank you. Before it even happened, it is as good as it had happened already. Because God says so. That's what it is. You see, the faith, starting from infancy, childhood, it distilled, it became stronger and stronger, and it grew stronger and stronger until the middle age and the test year came. And I believe this was the defining moment when Joshua and Caleb gave their minority report. They were not influenced by the majority. We are living in this world today, in society, where everything, even morality, is what? Is being polled. People are asking, what is right? Oh, 50% said it is okay. Only 20% or 100% says it's wrong. They only believe in what? Polls. Morality, biblical values could never be decided nor determined by numbers, by polls. What God has set forth in the Word of God, that's what it is. And even though it's so unpopular and only few, take a stand. Because the Word of God never changes. It is transcultural. It is universal and it is eternal. And I believe this is what they really did. They stood their ground. But you know what? There was a price tag along it. They lost their popularity. People hated them. As a matter of fact, they were already planning to stone them to death. They became so unpopular. Nevertheless, they were unmoved. Now let's go to the third, the process of their growth, of Caleb's growth in wisdom and in faith. From infancy to his middle years, and we read here in his senior years. I put the word here in my outline, sunset years. In his sunset years, later years. Joshua 14, 6 to 15. This is exactly the text that we have. When he asked for his personal inheritance, and it was granted. Now Caleb was already what? 85 years old. So this is just a reminiscence, what he's talking here in Joshua, of what had happened in Numbers chapter 13. This is just the recollection of something like 40 years ago. He was 40 when he participated in spying the land. He was a part of the group of 12 spies And then he waited, and there was a fighting within that period for 40 years. And his faith became stronger, and all of the test after test after test. And he was an overcomer. So it became more sturdy and more strong. And right here when he was already 85 years old, if I were 85 like Caleb, I would have said, it must be tempting for me to say, now it's time for me to rest. Now it's time for me to buy 1 dozen of pajamas. And all I do is like this and all of that. Oh, relax. I'm already old. I could not do what I used to do when I was younger. That's always, you know, the common concept of people in their later years. You relax. Take it easy. And all of that. There is a grain of truth there, but there's danger too. There's the catch-22 there too, I believe. Oh, in his senior years. He was already 85 years, right here. Now in verse 12, let's read. Verse 12 is beautiful. Chapter 14, that reveals who Caleb was, the kind of the man he was. Chapter 14, verse 12. It says here, now therefore give me this mountain. At 85, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Wow. At 85, he didn't stop doing great things for God. I may as well put this. His desire and his drive in serving God was unabated. It was unwavering and unabated. He never ceased doing something for God. Brothers and sisters, and I'd like to challenge each one of us, myself, first of all, and all of the best years. In our age, we are tempted to say, relax and all, slow down. Yes, there's wisdom there. But be careful of the danger there, the catch there, the curve, shall we say, that might surprise you along the way. You might end up relaxing, 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 and you have not done something for the Lord. The devil wants you to deceive you in that. Never lose your drive in serving God. Even in your retirement years. The word retirement is just superficial. It's only a shift and a change of tires, isn't it? Yeah. For another mileage. This is Caleb at 85. So many of the younger men, so many of the strong and sturdy people there never ask for a mountain. In the apportionment, in the dividing and distribution of the inheritance, many of them wanted to get what? The flat, plain land. Who doesn't anyway? Right? They wanted to have the prime land. But at 85, Caleb said, give me that mountain. Give the plain ones to the younger guys. I want that mountain. Because at the time, that mountain was still inhabited by the giants. The enemies were still there. There was no complete destruction of the enemies at the time. There were still remnants of the giants up there in the mountain, and the younger guys didn't like to take the challenge of fighting them. But Caleb said, I will do. Joshua, please give me that. And I love this, verse 13. And Jacob blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. That's the mountain. Brothers and sisters, there are mountains. Not only for the seniors, for us, but even for the young generation. There are mountains, young people, for you. The challenges. But don't take the challenge as a problem. Take them as an opportunity to do greater exploits for God. And God, who will be with you, and He promises, and He will never fail, will make you a hero. Believe me, heroes are not made out of peace and quietness and prosperity. Heroes emerge from wars, bloodsheds, crises. Those are heroes. The heroes of faith. You read Hebrews chapter 11. We read that. Even some at the price of their lives. Caleb said, I want to still engage in military battle. I still want to drive the enemies right there. And I want Hebron. In later history, the early history of Israel, Hebron became the capital city where David reigned as a king. That mountain turned to be what? A beautiful place, and it turned to be the capital of the kingdom. What was so ugly and so frightening to have at the time turned to be good. God turned it to be good. So brothers and sisters, I hope that we'll be like Caleb. So now give me all of this. And God did give Caleb that mountain. Caleb was also a part of the group selected by Moses to help divide the land among the tribes. And you know, by dividing, it takes a lot of what? Thinking, and also a lot of wise judgment. Because I know that when people would like to divide the spoils, even the children in inheritance, oh, they fight it in court, right? And all of that. It takes leadership. It takes wisdom. Wow, he grew up in wisdom. He grew up spiritually, in courage, and all of that. So those are the things that made Caleb to be a real man, to make his spiritual fiber stronger and stronger. And the point here is this. This reward, this mountain given to Caleb, called Hebron, this reward crowned his faith and faithfulness. To me, this is the crowning moment. When he reported with Joshua, the minority report, that was the defining moment of his faith. And right here in his later years, at 85, we call this the crowning moment. The crowning moment of his faith and faithfulness. Somebody has said, to patient faith, the price is sure. Faith is to see the invisible. Believe the incredible. And do the impossible. Faith, mighty faith, the promises, and looks to God alone, laughs at impossibilities, and cries, it shall be done. This is true in Caleb's life. He was not content with the average or commonplace kind of life. At 85, his faith had grown into full maturity and bore fruits. He even became more fruitful. He even accomplished or achieved more than before at 85. So he, I believe, is the fitting picture being portrayed here in Psalm 92, 12 and 14. What does it say there in Psalm 92, 12 to 14? The righteous will follow, will flourish like a palm tree. So Caleb was likened to a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Palm tree in the Middle East signifies what? Longevity of life. Many palm trees there are even more than 100 years old. The older palm tree becomes in the Middle East, the more fruitful it gets. And what kind of palm tree? There is that family of palm tree known as the evergreen. In spite of the desert, in spite of the drought, in spite of all the unfavorable weather, it still remains green. And it is very productive. Wow! I like my life to be like Caleb. Won't you? Beautiful. So the secret of clear, steady growth in wisdom and faith is what? Right here in Joshua 14, 8, 14, 9, and 14. Three times it's mentioned here. Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Caleb wholly followed the Lord. He just fully and wholly followed the Lord. Three times. This is an emphasis. A man who was not only trusting in God, but he was obedient, because true faith will always result to obedience. Are you growing wisely and slowly in the foundation of faith? Are you growing as a Christian? How's your growth? Something must be wrong. There will be abnormality if you don't. But you can only grow in the faith, Christian faith, if you are first of all a Christian. Become a Christian first so that you will grow in the Christian faith. Open your heart. You might say, oh, Pastor, don't tell me about it. I'm already past 70, I'm already 60 and all. That's too late. No. Salvation is for everyone, for every level of age. It's for everyone. It's never too late to be saved. Come to Jesus Christ. And if you're a believer already and you have stagnated for quite a while, you have regressed rather than progressed in your Christian life, recommit your life to Jesus right now. Follow the footsteps of Caleb. Won't you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to grow wisely and steadily in our Christian faith. In Jesus' name, amen.